880 The Biz, where money talks.
You're listening to Freed on Business, voted one of the top 10 social media influencers for real estate. Now, here's your host, Jim Freed.
Welcome back to another edition of Freed on Business. Welcome to our new format, the podcast-only format. 880 AM was sold, so we are now podcast-only. I want to welcome everybody to our first podcast-only show as we start our 12th season of Freed on Business. We're going to welcome back Andre Senni. Andre is the founder and CEO of the CRE Collaborative. We're having our tech show today. Welcome back, Andreas.
Thanks, Jim. Always a pleasure to be back on the show. I couldn't be more excited to be continuing your 10 years, your top 10 social media influencer show status with our Freed on Tech segments as we go podcast and digital. Joining us today, I've got two incredible guests. We've got Bob Gillespie from the NAR Reach Accelerator program. Bob is the executive director there with over 25 years experience in technology leadership. Also joining us from the capital side, Wall Street veteran Bradford Harris of Chesney Cap Securities. So I could not be more excited to be talking money, talking tech, talking real estate, as always with you here on Freed on Tech, Freed on Business segment. Guys, welcome.
That's great. That's great, man. This is great, Andreas. So Andreas, why don't we start out with talking about the NAR Accelerator? Tell me what that really is. It sounds really cool.
Well, and for that, I'm gonna introduce Bob and get it from Bob in his words. Bob.
Sure, Andreas. Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it. Let me tell you, sort of our topology of our organizations. It's a little confusing at first. So the National Association of Realtors is our umbrella organization. So, a lot of people refer to the association. We got about 1.3 million members in our association. It's, I believe it's the largest association in the world, made up of both residential and commercial real estate brokers and agents. Underneath that, so that's a nonprofit association, which, main mission is to keep the realtor, as a central contributor to the real estate transaction. Underneath that, we have a for-profit entity called Second Century Ventures, which is the strategic venture arm of the National Association of Realtors. So what we have is a venture firm that can identify and invest in impactful real estate technologies. One of our early investments was DocuSign, which I'm sure everybody's used and heard of. And then underneath Second Century Ventures, which is designed to invest in later stage companies, we realized that we were missing out on a lot of early stage real estate tech companies that we thought were really compelling. So in 2013, we launched the Accelerator, and we put about 80 companies through that program that are a little bit early for our venture fund, but we want to get involved with. So we have both the REACH Accelerator, which has been around for I think 6 years now. And then this year we launched both REACH Australia and REACH Commercial to focus on commercial solutions. So we're also launching REACH Canada, REACH Global. So we're setting up this series of accelerators to work with earlier stage commercial real estate and other real estate technology companies to take advantage of fostering innovation a little earlier than...
Great. You've seen the growth. We've all been kind of part of it. 4 years ago, we had 80 companies. Now we've got 4,000, close to 6,000 real estate tech, CRE tech companies. What are you seeing out there? What are you guys investing in specifically? Go ahead.
Yeah, to mirror your comment, four or five years ago, prop tech wasn't a word, really. It's just exploded, right? It's one of the largest asset classes in the entire world is real estate. And, I think that there was sort of a shift a few years ago where instead of battling the adoption of technology, that real estate people started to realize that it's coming and they should get on the front end of that wave. So, we've invested in a lot of companies. This year, for instance, we invest in both the residential side solutions and the commercial side solutions. Some good examples on the commercial side where I focus is, there's an amenity war going on in multifamily housing complexes where, people have realized that technology and amenities are a way to differentiate their buildings for their tenants, and it really helps with you know, ability to drive rent, but also really, really helps with retention. So we've made several investments in tech-enabled amenity companies. So the Mint with an E, M-I-N-T-E, was one of our early stage investments. We took them very early on, but essentially are there a tech-enabled apartment cleaning platform. So it's so simplistic. It's simplistically beautiful. Multifamily housing complexes with, say, 600 apartments, it's a pain for those people to manage outside maid services coming into the building. One maid service comes in for one tenant, another maid service comes in for another tenant. You don't know if they're supposed to be in your building. Are you supposed to let them in the door? Do they have access to the keys? What hallways should they be in? There's a security issue. So what the Mint does, and this is one of the genius things that they did, is that they didn't sell to the tenant. They sold to the owner operators. They said, look, let us come in and be your in-house maid service. And when your tenants want to have a maid, they simply click a button on our app and we're already in your building. We have access to your building. We're badged. We have our uniform on. We do background checks. And then we'll just become your in-house solution for maid services. And the buildings just loved it because it solved a ton of their problems. And the tenants love it because now they know it's safe, secure. There's one source. So that's one example of with amenities. We just took a very simple solution. And I think the key for them was being able to sell to the asset owner, which solved their problem. And then they very quickly went from, you know, trial in one building in Chicago to now they're in Chicago, they're in DC, they're in Baltimore, and they're looking to expand to three more cities.
Well, I think you pointed out a great point. It's the landlords and the owners, you know, the wealthiest across the country, the people who can derive the most benefit and glean the most insight from technology or streamlining to their tenants. I mean, Brad, you're over on the financial side. You've been at these shows longer than I have. Prop tech itself, I mean, that makes up the 4,000 of the 6,800 technologies out there. How do we streamline buildings? How do we get intelligence from our assets? And then, Brad, I mean, what are you seeing? How do we turn those assets to more money? What's going on in the space in your mind?
Well, there's a number of things to bring up. First of all, Bob's absolutely right. If you go back, you know, several years ago, you know, prop tech was not a phrase that was being used by anybody. In fact, the evolution from the longer syllabic real estate technology to the more simple prop tech to describe what this evolution is of companies that are being created specifically to try to address needs that have largely been ignored within the real estate business. For all of the innovations that have taken place in any number of other industry verticals, real estate has been, you know, everybody says the same words. It has been one of the slowest to adopt technologies. And that is changing. I mean, I got into focusing on the real estate tech space about 5 years ago, along with a colleague. And from an investment banker standpoint, one of the things that I observed is all of these companies are classic technology companies, and classic early stage technology companies need three things. They need private equity, they need merger and acquisition advice, and they need general corporate finance services, things that don't fit a deal per se, but still require the financial market knowledge in order to give the right kind of input. And one of the most important things that seems to be happening is what always happens. You get generational shifts. One of the things that if you go back, you know, 10 years, you know, there's a lot of people within the real estate business who had been doing it the same way for 20 and 30 years. They didn't really see all that much need to change. They were able to do what they needed to do. But now you have got a whole new group of people, you know, whether it's millennials or whichever group you want to discuss, they are used to having more access to information. Frequently, that's free information. They have a strong desire to incorporate technologies that they have been used to working with in any number of their other professional endeavors and bring that to bear. Well, as you get people who are retiring or leaving the business, you have this new generation coming in. And that, to me, is as much as anything what is driving the shift that's taking place for all of these new ideas that are coming in and solutions that are being brought to the marketplace. 5 years ago, I was at one of these real estate tech conferences, and I think it was only the second or third time that this group had gotten together. It was maybe, several dozen people who were showing up. Now you go to some of these conferences, they're 800, 900 people. When you go to the ones in New York, they have people with ties on, in other words, the real estate guys who are showing up and trying to learn what it is that's taking place. What can they use to adopt to make their business better, more efficient? And that is now being reflected in what's happening in the capital markets. I was reading yesterday in my morning real estate news stuff, the level of activity continues to grow in terms of amounts of money that is raised, merger and acquisition transactions that are being done to rationalize and consolidate certain subsegments in the prop tech space. This is, to me, I mean, I've been at this for 40 years. This reminds me so much of the mid-1980s as the software industry, as it was then understood to be, was being created. It was the Wild West. It was so many companies being created, so many opportunities being pursued. It is very similar to that now. And there will be rationalization that takes place. There will be, very large winners, who consolidate a number of technologies together to better serve the marketplace. It's just plain a very exciting time to be part of this. And I'll turn it back to you.
Well, and that ties me back to Jim. Jim, for those who are tuning in for the first time, Jim comes from the financing side. I come from the brokerage and development side. Evolution or use of technology is the differentiator. For landlords, it's giving a little more convenience, as Bob was pointing out. For brokers, it's reacting faster in market knowledge. I mean, Jim, what are you seeing there on the finance side? And is it too early to call you commissioner as you're shifting things? But go ahead and
it's too early to call me commissioner, but we'll leave that for next month's show. The reality is that the reason that real estate is so slow to adopt is that real estate has always been information driven and information arbitrage driven, and people are very proprietary about their information and their knowledge. And I think that, especially with real estate's a business, but it's also an art form. And I think that you're going to have a combination of technology and old school, grin and grab, if you will, meeting people in person, and it's going to be the people that most effectively merge all of those technologies. And the fact that it's an art form means that many, many people are reluctant to switch because they've had success. That's one of the reasons that early adopters and early technology, I think, find difficulty being accepted on the front end.
Right. And I couldn't agree more. I mean, but now you've got large groups, fifth wall, others. Huge amounts of capital. People understand that competitive advantage is competitive when you're there, not the first, but early enough to take advantage. And that's the incredible thing to what Brad was pointing out in my mind is simply we went from 100 people in a room to over 1,000. We've got CRE Tech this month in New York, NAR doing their event next month in San Francisco, where there's such a huge focus on tech and there's a fear of what am I missing, which just wasn't here a year ago. What is my colleague doing? What is my competitors doing? How do I do better? And that's where technologies like Zero Collaborative, like the accelerator programs, the things they're pushing forward are so exciting. It's because of that competitive advantage. So Bob, you said that the commercial accelerator program launched this year. What are you guys looking for? What's the buzz from the words from the mouth of the association, or from you guys underneath?
I probably look at a couple hundred companies a year, so you start to see themes. I see a lot of kind of Me Too solutions that aren't as compelling as others. I think that a lot of times what'll happen, and this is to both the other gentlemen on the call, they both said this, it used to be the fact that everybody kind of built their own thing in-house, right? It was like, well, if I want a data analytic platform to measure rent, I'm going to build that internally. So we've adopted the not built here philosophy, and our CEO, Bob Goldberg, actually has used that phrase, not built here, which is we don't want to be the technology provider. We want to be the technology finder. And then what the industry is doing and the massive shift that we've all been talking about on this podcast so far is these real estate companies are no longer looking to build their own solutions. They're looking to find solutions that everybody can use, which is a much more efficient way to do things. So we are looking at, as I mentioned before, in our current class, we have six companies in our current class. We've got two companies that are sort of amenity focused. We also have focused on the trends in co-working spaces and co-living spaces. So we have two different companies that focus on that. One is kind of an arbitrage of short-term rentals. So you've got your Airbnbs type business model where other people are now leveraging that to say, look, I can take three apartments in a really nice destination neighborhood. I'm in Chicago, so let's say it's Wicker Park, and I can make a almost a boutique style Airbnb instead of being just, you know, somebody's extra bedroom. I can make it an experiential destination place, and I can arbitrage the short-term rent that I pay on my annual lease, and I can arbitrage that to what I can get for listing on Airbnb. And then I just got to be really good about filling it every one of those nights. And I do that through a boutique experiential solution. So co-living is a big, is obviously a big trend. Co-working is a big trend. So we have a company in our portfolio called Koyo that is a listing platform for, both co-working spaces and for move-in ready spaces. So instead of having sort of the big build out and the long-term lease, we've had companies that are kind of leveraging the shift in the way that people work and the way that people live. People are expecting more out of the places where they live and the places that they work. So one of our companies in our portfolio is called Lulafit that does all of the corporate wellness and multifamily housing, health and wellness, where they're going to take those million-dollar gyms that are sitting there that people don't utilize enough because there's no programming, there's no organization, and they're coming into those facilities and running all the health and wellness. So the solutions that we pick are really kind of on trend with, you know, what are the concerns that our brokers and that our members have, what's disrupting, and instead of battling this disruption, let's find solutions that feed into that disruption that we can then roll out to our customers, to our clients, to our association members, that will get them on the forefront of that wave of technology instead of battling against it.
Yeah, leaning into the shift.
This is really a good time to take a break. Let's go to a break. Then we're going to come back. And what I want to do is I want to talk about some of the earliest software solutions that were out there, things like RCM, where people used to put things online. Is that going to be still in vogue? What types of good systems are out there that you're investing in that you think will be cutting edge? I really want to give people a preview of the future. Right after this, what do you think, guys? Can you stick with me and do some more of this?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Awesome. We'll be right back after this short break from our sponsors with more ways that you can make money right away, make your real estate practice even better with some of our experts from across the field, across the country. Back after this.
Wanda, love you, miss you. Everybody at Warren Henry, just love you. That's right. When you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry. Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti and Jaguar. Up in Gainesville, they've got Audi. Down in Key West, Jeep and all kinds of other great name brands. What do they all have in common? They're all exceptional cars, and they all come with a Warren Henry advantage. That means complimentary. Oh, did it again. That means complimentary service loaner, dynamic wheel protection, key replacement, guaranteed purchase offer, and of course, their best value guarantee, and my favorite, the 72-hour exchange. They'll pick up your car. They'll exchange it for you for 3 days after you buy it. They're the best. Join me, my mom, and my beautiful wife, Vivian. We're all members of the Warren Henry family. You should be, too. Always the best price. Always the best service. Always Warren Henry.
Ugly.
Stupid.
Dweeb.
Useless. Weird.
Slow.
Things that should never be said.
Shut it down.
We are all beautiful.
We are strong.
We are powerful.
Be loud.
Be proud.
We have the power to put an end to bullying.
So go ahead. Be you. Be bold.
Be different. Be brave.
Choose to stand up against bullies.
Choose kindness.
Choose kindness.
Choose kindness.
All right, we're back, and we're back with Andreas Senni. Andreas, introduce our fabulous guests on our technology show.
So, once again, I want to welcome back Bob Gillespie. He is the executive director here at Reach Commercial, the Reach Commercial Accelerator, which is a subsidiary of the National Association of Realtors, and Bradford Harries, partner at Chesicap Securities. We've got both sides of the fence, the association side here with Bob, and Bradford over on the Wall Street side, private capital. So, guys, welcome back. Let's talk. You tee it up, Jim. What companies, what, when, and where?
You know, when I first became aware of real estate prop tech, the first company was this company called RCM. They put together real estate marketing packages. They helped smaller companies compete with the bigger companies. It showed me that there was a need for external solutions to help augment boutique and individual practitioners. And I guess that's just exploded with the internet and with all the apps that are out there. Can you guys talk about some of the historic firms, and what you think are some of the new cutting edge solutions that people really need to know about? What are the best in class that you guys would recommend?
Go ahead, Bob.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you have sort of, the evolution of, the internet has evolved, obviously, and computing power has evolved, obviously. From a sort of a way back in the day, I mean, imagine historically where people didn't even want to go list things on the internet at all. It was proprietary. They didn't want to just make that available to the public. That was part of their value. And now people, that would just be an unacceptable state of being for a consumer nowadays, right? Being like, wait a second, I don't get that information. That doesn't make any sense. So they started listing things, and those were the earlier solutions, like, RCM, CoStar has, all the lists, that they're a behemoth in the industry. What's happening now is that people are starting to take a lot of those data sets and a lot of the listing services and things like that. And they're starting to add a lot of new technology and a lot of new thought on how that data can be utilized. So for instance, companies might be able to take a listing that's textual in nature, but they can use machine learning and natural language processing to, for instance, parse those listings and have the computer read text and turn that into searchable data. So they basically can take and categorize a listing and understand the way the human mind would understand by reading a listing, which computers have a harder time doing because you have to process language. And then you can categorize listings, and then you can make them much more searchable. You can start to talk to people, or you can start to ask people, like, what are your needs? And then through using artificial intelligence, you can automatically start to match them to properties. You can start to take massive data sets like, zoning data, access to public transport, crime statistics, walk rates, weather, sunshine for cities that get super, super, super hot. So weather data, things that you didn't used to be able to do quantitatively, they were just sort of qualitative anecdotally. There are now all kinds of solutions where you can use the power of computing to completely change the way that you look at real estate, get the deal done quicker, faster, better. There are companies that are just doing that. Also the speed of the transaction, like what Buyproxy is now doing, is that they can help you not only locate a property that you're interested in, but then close on that through their back-end tool set and through their deal flow parameters or their deal flow package.
So Bob, and it's fair to say, or to rephrase that a bit, we've gone from an industry that, one or two providers, the leaders that didn't talk to one another, an industry that held everything in a silo, to bridging silos, to connecting everything and taking that massive wealth of data and making it actionable. I think that's the point you're getting to, is actionable insights, actionable tools that drive things much faster. And I'm sure, Brad, you're seeing that on the financial side, or you actually, ahead of commercial real estate tech, fintech has been all over, you know, digitization, documents, real-time analysis, insights. What would you say that?
Well, I'm going to, there's a couple of things that both Jim and Bob have highlighted, both before the break and after. The fact is that there is an evolution taking place. And even in this short 10-year period of time, we have gone to what Jim described as real estate people who wanted to keep their information proprietary. That was the basis on which they were able to get economic advantage in terms of any of the transactions that they were working with. So keeping it proprietary, keeping it close to the best, was their basic competitive edge. Over the course of the last 10 years, we have had any number of effectively data aggregators who, you know, have gone out and searched for how to collect this information that has been previously held close to the person who originated the data, or were able to gather the data because of the particular buildings they were involved with or otherwise. And all of a sudden, that data has become more available. And to Bob's point, it's being demanded to be more available because the next generations of, you know, people in real estate or other segments expect that that data is going to be available. Frequently, they expect that that data is going to be freely available. So now what is happening, and with the advances that have taken place in technology, frankly, that have been applied to other vertical markets, are now being applied to the real estate industry. And that is, what do you do with the data that is increasing in size, is becoming a mass of information? It's the analytics. It's what can you do with that? What trends can you decipher from this information? How does your differentiation in analyzing the data now put you in a more competitive position against others in whatever segment of this this market it is? So why have we seen someone like RCM that was discussed before the break, you know, not necessarily being the be-all and end-all in terms of, you know, where you're going for, you know, technology? Or how about CoStar, as was brought up, you know, has been very defensive about protecting the data that they are aggregating, and being very aggressive with potential competitors who are trying to do the same thing, or in some cases pilfering, you know, CoStar's data, and trying to then provide new avenues for others to work with that data. What you have seen and what is going to take place over time, and who the winners are going to be those who are able to take an increasing amount of data that becomes increasingly available generally, but somehow manages to create distinctions in what the data means, and find a way to provide that in a way that develops a real business for them in delivering that to the consumers of that analysis.
Data. Yeah, you know, the information comes out and it's overwhelming. It's difficult for people to process. They don't know where to look unless they're looking to do something very specific. It can really almost paralyze them. How do you suggest people use the overall data to develop business plans?
I'm self-servingly going to jump in a bit on that one. The, you know, CRE Collaborative is a great example. That's the platform I founded. And what it does is propel businesses forward by connecting the data sources, advising. I mean, we've got 4.4 million real estate professionals all with data, all trying to get on, all trying to do something. And then another 400,000 real estate professionals that have IT departments, that have, let's call it, vertically integrated technology stacks already, because they're the biggest in the industry, the blue chip companies. And the majority of the transactions aren't at that level. They're happening at the 4.4 million level. So what I think everyone here would agree on is the companies that are collaborating and bringing their data across are doing better than those that aren't. And the companies, real estate companies specifically, instead of tech companies, that actually focus on how they own their data and where it's proprietary and the value of it now are the ones that are going to take that competitive advantage, because they're going to be able to, you know, in some cases, resell their data. Comp data, everything has a value. We're in a digital currency age. The data is the digital currency for our business. Before, it was locked up in our heads as real estate pros. And Brad, I think you'd agree there. And Bob, I'd love to hear the association take.
The ability of any number of companies in the prop tech field to recognize what a particular need of information is and deliver that back in some packaged way will be the ones who find enormous demand from the marketplace. Now, all of that sounds like, well, you've just described normal business. The challenge, as we've all said, the amount of information was always enormous, but it is getting larger. The ability to decipher what it means has become more challenging. You've got to recognize what you're expert in. If you're not expert in how to, you know, gather data and you know, run it through a scrubber, you know, to get to pieces of information that are useful to you, because what your expertise is to take that information that's now been scrubbed and make decisions against it. Decisions about what to buy, what to lease, what to do in any number of ways within the real estate business. So it's going to be the companies that are able to deliver the ever-increasing amount of information in a way that is actionable to its customer base. Those are the winners.
Yeah, I would mirror what Brad said. A phrase that I like to use is nobody needs more data. They need better insights into what the data is telling them. Insights, actionable insights, being able to, data is no longer a problem. There's plenty of data out there. It's what do you do with it? And then the companies that are real successful are the ones that take data sets and say, I took this data set and now I can solve a business problem for you. I often say, because I probably look at a couple hundred companies a year, you know, I find myself saying very often to them, they say, well, we collect this data and we do this stuff. And I go, now what? I mean, good for you. You've got all this data on, you know, you got all this municipality data. Terrific. What do you do with it? Why would somebody pay for it? What's your special sauce inside of that? I think that Brad's point's dead on about the companies that figure out how to do that are the ones.
Stick with us. We're going to do one quick break. We're going to come back and we're going to find out some real secrets about what the best platforms are for you to use to execute your real estate plan, whether it's leasing, investment, sales, or simply getting an overview of market opportunities. We'll be back after this with my friend Andre Senni and our team of technology experts.
Hey, everybody. If you need some real estate financing, give me a call. 305-773-6300 gets you to me, Jim Fried. What do? I help you solve your problems. Usually it only takes one call. What do all day long? Jim, I got this finance problem. Jim, I need to sell this land. Jim, I need this partnership put back together. Jim, I need you to help me out. That's right. And I act as their fiduciary and I get it done for them. Big families in town and families you've never heard of from out of town. So give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why? Because when you call me,
it's all about you.
You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right.
We're back with our good friend Andre Senni of the Real Estate Collaborative. The Real Estate Collaborative is a gathering place of real estate technologies that can make your real estate practice much more efficient and more profitable for you. And Andre has a couple of guests with him. We're wrapping up our monthly tech show. So, Andre, let's quickly review our introductions and let's get right back to it.
Absolutely, Jim. So joining us this month is Bob Gillespie, Executive Director over at the Reach Commercial Accelerator, a subsidiary of NAR, and Bradford Harries, partner at Chesicap Securities. We've got the association side and the banking side, private, semi-public sides of the industry, talking tech, talking money, talking history.
Yeah, so we were talking about what some really great, the best types of apps and platforms are for the different types of professionals, maybe something special for leasing, financing, maybe prop operations. What are your guys best in class on this stuff?
Sure. Yeah, I'll give you, I've mentioned a few already, and then, you know, I'll even step outside of just the ones that we've invested in that I'm a big fan of. On the finance side, I'm a very big fan of CRE Simple, end-to-end platform where they have both the finance and the entire the commercial transaction. Alternative assets, a platform that I find really interesting is CFX Markets. They basically have tokenized using blockchain, which could be a whole nother episode of your podcast. but they basically have tokenized a platform where you can trade alternative assets. I'm a real big fan of what they're doing. It's very interesting. From a commercial real estate marketing solution, I like what Buildout is doing quite a bit. They're getting a ton of traction. I've been keeping my eye on them for several years. I'm a real, real big fan of Buildout. From a space management, I'll give you one more just because it's really sort of off the grid of what we talked about, and I love it. A company called Twofold out of Portland that creates almost zero footprint office and home furniture. So things fold up, they fold into walls, so you can utilize space in a much more efficient manner. They sell into co-working spaces. They sell into real large enterprises that want to use their space more efficiently. So those are kind of four different verticals that I find is really fascinating. I'm a big fan of what they're doing.
That's great.
Bradford, do you have any recommendations?
Well, I'm in a little bit of a different position being an investment banker. So I'm going to answer the question in a slightly different way. A past client of mine is CompStack. You know, they're not, they've now been around for a while. But why I bring them up in this particular segment and question is it's just an example of a brilliant strategy to recognize how to gather, data in a crowdsourced basis, which is how CompStack got its original data to work with that it then applied across, any number of markets. And then the way in which they have in the subsequent years brought in other partners and partnerships, like the partnership they have with Moody's at this point. It's just been a really brilliant way to take an idea that there should be a better way to gather information about leases, which are not public knowledge per se, but everybody uses them, needs them, found a way to trade them. He found a way to put himself into the middle of that as a business. And that is just one of those great examples of how you figure out how to get the data, how to manage it, package it, and then sell the value of what it is that you have pulled together.
And for our listeners who don't know, CompStack is a comp exchange where you can actually exchange your knowledge. Back in the day, we would meet in rooms and have breakfasts and exchange our deal data, physically and more digitally today. In addition to that, whereas CompStack has taken that model and allowed you to exchange them. A great company, as we all know, and you touched on Moody's as well. Moody's is another big aggregator. I want to point to putting streams together. Cherry is a great enterprise level system pulling streams together, single dashboarding, and for me, looking at the space, it's just connected universe. Any technology, when you're out there talking and working with them, that won't connect or won't let you move your data or isn't talking to another, isn't going to help you in the end. It's going to cause you more drain on your time, more drain on your resources. And we as Golden Deal makers, real estate professionals, only have so many hours a day to dedicate. So anytime a company, Comstock included, Moody's, a lot of Reese, Reonomy, they've all shared the data, saving time, saving money. Siri Collaborative, of course, does the same, connects, collaborates, and triages all your data for you. And that's my side.
Well, listen, I know that we've got to wrap up for our guests because I know we're bumping up against some hard stops for them. But Andres, can you stick with me and kind of put a wrap on this for our final segment?
I would love to, Jim. Thank you. And Bob and Brad, guys, thank you so much.
Andres, stick with me. We'll be right back with some more information. We'll put a capstone on all this. We'll help people figure out what's best for them in the confusing area of real estate prop tech. More after this.
Song. Wanda, you just nailed it with all my favorite music. You aren't here in person, but you are in spirit. Wanda Miles, I love you. You're the best. It's really the Wanda Miles show with Jim Fried, I think. Anyway, when you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry, Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar up in Gainesville. They've got the hot Audis down in Key West. Just about everything you can think of, and they're all great cars, and they all come with the Warren Henry Advantage. That means complimentary dent repair. Oh my gosh, I did it again. That means complimentary service loaner, dynamic wheel protection, key replacement, guaranteed purchase offer, best value guarantee, and of course, my favorite, the 72-hour exchange. So join me, my mom, and my beautiful, lovely Jackie O wife, Vivian. We're all members of the Warren Henry family. You should be too. Always the best price. Always the best service. Always Warren Henry. Turn it up.
Today's program is brought to you by Throwback Thursday. Remember as a teenager sleeping until noon or 1 p.m.? Now I can't sleep past 7 a.m. even on my days off. But hey, medical marijuana is legal and just about everywhere. I have no idea why I made this point. Well played, CBD gummies. Well played.
It's Jim Fried on 880 The Biz.
Oh my gosh, I'm just having so much fun here. I really am. Playing the music, having a good time with my friends. I just love doing this radio show. You know what else I love doing? I love helping people solve their problems. You got a real estate related problem? Give me a call, 305-773-6300. We'll talk it through. Maybe I can help. Maybe you know somebody else that can help. The number one thing is I'm here to help. So give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why? Because when you call me,
it's all about you.
You're listening to Fried on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Fried.
All right, we are back with Andres Seni. Andres, that was great. You know, Brad and Bob were tremendous. They seem to represent all the types of people that you have involved with the Real Estate Collaborative. Tell me a little bit about the other folks that participate.
So the Siri Collaborative serves as industry role agnostic, investors, developers, lenders, brokers, service professionals. We all take part in a transaction, in transactions. We all need to be able to communicate and talk to one another. And that's what we've done. That's the industry. people shaking hands doing business. The collaborative takes it further by helping the technology shake hands. It gets you to the technology you need when you need it, connects it to the other technologies to save you time, and provides that data arbitrage, delivers to you the data you need in a simple, easy-to-use dashboard. And having people like Bob, Mike Beckerman, all of our different show guests are all gleaming examples of the industry and where it's going. The 2.0 of let's connect, let's collaborate, let's do more business much faster because we have these connections and these partnerships.
You know, it's really great. What is it that drove you to put all this together, Andreas?
2015, we founded Siri Collaborative. I was at that point early on, I was just the broker building my business, 400% growth year over year, using technology, the original iPad growing out of my arm as a legacy real estate developer from a family of developers. And I saw that the more technology, the closer to the edge you are, the better you could do if you worked hard, worked smart. And then I noticed as all these technologies were coming online, they were coming online independent of one another, and they didn't talk. And if they didn't talk, it meant I had to go to each one separately, which then started to kill my day, kill my time. We spend 50% of our day on email already. There really isn't enough time to go check 9, 10 platforms. You need to check one and be done. And that's what Creco does, Siri Collaborative, Creco.ai. It's a search one and done platform that handles your technology for you, provides the resources to you in a way you understand. Everybody knows how to search for an asset, how to promote an asset. So now let's deliver the new age technology that you may or may not know about right there at your point of need. And that's how we grew. And the industry has shifted, you know, three times over in the last 3-4 years.
We really appreciate your sponsorship. You're bringing all of these leading edge technologies to our podcast. I want to thank you so much for your partnership.
You too, Jim. I could not be more excited for what's coming. And I say that a lot, but it's continuing.
It's really exciting. Listen, I want to thank you so much. We'll see you next month, and I'll call you offline to give you an update on the campaign.
Absolutely. I there's only one word I want to hear, and that's one. And I think you're getting there.
Yeah, well, that's what we're going to do. We're getting there. I'll talk to you later. Thank you so much for participating. We'll talk again offline. Everybody have a great weekend. This is Jim Fried for Fried on Business. I want to thank everybody for listening today. Remember, you can hear us on our podcast now. You can always find us on www.friedonbusiness.com. This is Jim Fried for Fried on Business. I want to thank everybody for listening. And, of course, I always want to thank our first responders. Remember, the person wants to do something, finds a way, the other finds an excuse. Now go out there and make it happen. Thank you, Andres. Everybody be well.